Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting at KVRF 89.5 in the Valley. The studio is here today, and on the line calling in from North Carolina in what I imagine to be probably a pretty warm evening, Hugh Neff. Hugh, how's it going?
Feels good. I'm sitting here hanging out with my buddy Ken Huff. What is it, probably about 70 degrees, wearing shorts. About 8 o'clock, we're getting ready for the basketball game that's coming on TV here soon.
Very cool. So you're in the middle of your school tour right now, been gone for, I don't know, just about 3 weeks now. How's it going traveling the country down there?
Oh, it's been busy. We've done about, I think, 15 talks so far. I got another 8 or 9 to do, and just had a lovely dinner out at the Outback Steakhouse. Walter's got a nice steak here for dessert. He's probably been pet by, I don't know how many thousands of kids and teachers and folks along the way, but, you know, it's been an amazing time, and we're up here in Hickory, North Carolina, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and it's been a fun day. I met my buddy Ken Huff through the Iditarod a few years ago, and he's a Super Bowl champ. He was one of the hogs for the Washington Redskins. And we've been hanging out. He came to my talk this morning in Concord. And then we've been taking Walter for hikes up in the trails around this area this afternoon.
So before we jump into this with Ken, how is Walter enjoying all of this attention? You know, a lot of people know Walter by pictures and by running in the big races. But when you finally get a chance to meet him, he is kind of a miraculous little dog. How is he enjoying all this time in the spotlight?
He's loving it. You know, he's a ham. He'll go up to anybody, even if he hasn't met them yet, and he'll just sort of brush up against them and want them to pet him. He's definitely a ham in that respect. But that's the funny thing. People are amazed how big he is. You know, he's 70 pounds. People didn't really expect him to be such a big dog, but that's what makes him so special. And he was a little bit, you know, nervous at first. He hadn't been in a big city like Chicago and New York and, you know, Charlotte, places like that. But he's getting used to it, and he's wide-eyed, checking out all the traffic. And he's definitely got a lot of girlfriends now. A lot of people just love him. The interesting part about Walter is I was in Chicago, you know, and obviously he's named after Walter Payton, who's a big hero for my generation. And the funny aspect of this is Walter Payton was drafted – 5th, and what year was that, Ken?
75.
He was drafted 5th from Jackson State?
Jackson State.
Jackson State in 1975, and Ken Huff right here, who's with me, was drafted 4th, right ahead of him, so it's a small world.
Wow. So I guess on the big boards in the draft, you were considered a better player, is that right, Ken?
Well, you can make that argument. I'm not sure I will now, but certainly Walter was a class by himself, and if not the best, certainly one of the top 5 running backs ever to play in the NFL.
Right. But Ken got to play with a guy named John Riggins, which is probably definitely in a class by himself. I really enjoy it. You know, I'm a sports nut like you, Robert, and I love getting some of Ken's stories of what it was like back in the days.
You know, Ken, I was living in D.C. during your guys' heyday, and I'm sure I watched you play many a time. We used to head over there to the old RFK and watch the Hogs and Riggins and Theismann and the whole 9 yards. So I'm sure I got to watch you play once or twice. What position did you play, and did you play your whole career with the Redskins, or did you bounce around like a lot of players do?
Well, I played guard, offensive guard. I was right guard with the Redskins, and I played the last part of my career was in Washington. I started in Baltimore with the Colts back then before they were in Indianapolis, and played in Baltimore for 8 years. was traded to Washington after my eighth year and finished my career 3 years in Washington. But I will have to say I had probably more fun in those 3 years in Washington than I had in the eight previous in Baltimore. Just a great city, a great time to be a player in Washington. Obviously, winning helps a lot. But we had a lot of characters, a lot of good teammates, and it was just a lot of fun to play ball with these guys.
And Robert, well, you've got some great stories.
When Lawrence Taylor broke Theismann's leg.
That was what I was going to ask. Were you involved in that game on Monday night when old Joe Theismann's career was ended right there? I'm sure that, you know, I remember seeing that on TV, and I still cringe when I see that on YouTube. Man, what a way to break your leg and end your season. Were you a part of that play at all?
I was. I was right there on the line in front of him. I will have to admit that it was not, and emphasis on not, my guy. But it was horrific. Didn't really see the break. We heard it because we were obviously facing the other direction, but it was horrific. I didn't really know how bad it was until later that night and the whole week. Every newscast played it over 3 and 4 times a show. But it was pretty horrific.
But, Robert, a great story about Walter Payton is what Ken told me happened to him in the RFK Stadium. How many years was it? The next year?
The next year.
So the next year, the Bears played the Skins in the playoffs, and unfortunately, Ken actually broke his leg in that playoff game. And he said in his locker room after the game, the first player to come over and see how he was doing was actually Walter Payton. So that just shows you the character of a guy like Sweetness.
Well, you know, I know that that Walter is one of your big sports heroes, Q. Who did you follow, Ken, when you were a little kid coming up playing Little League football or whatever you did? Who was one of your admirers way back in the day?
Well, that's a tough question. Really, I wasn't really that big a football player growing up. I was more into other sports. Actually, I was a bigger swimmer, literally bigger. But it wasn't until actually my senior year in college that I really thought that I had a career in the NFL. So growing up, football was not big in my interest. I was just into a lot of other sports. I grew up in San Diego, so swimming was probably the sport that I was better at. And just football just worked out to be the sport that I could make a living at.
So where did you go to college, Ken?
I went to the University of North Carolina, which
Tar
is
Heel,
why I'm still here at Chapel Hill. I'm
very
sorry?
Good.
Very good.
No, I said Tar Heel all the way.
The other side note to Ken's growing up is his dad was actually an admiral in the Navy, so he has definitely had a pretty amazing journey on this earth. And I met Kennedy at Iditarod, three years ago. And Ken's a big dude, obviously. And it'd be nice to get him up there and throw him on a dog team and maybe see how he can do in one of these shorter races.
So tell us that story, Ken. How in the world did you get involved in becoming a fan of dog sledding and mushing? Obviously, living in North Carolina, there's not a whole lot of mushing and not a whole lot of snow, for that matter. How did you, you know, find this as a new way to, you know, to watch sports, I guess?
Well, it started in 1984. It was after the Super Bowl against the Reds, the Raiders, and about three or four Raiders and three or four Redskins came up to Anchorage in February. And we were there for the Fur Ronde and the hype for the Iditarod. So I got a little bit of taste of it then. And then after I retired, I would come up to Alaska for about 10 years in a row in August doing working a football camp for the Boys and Girls Club with about a half dozen retired NFL players. So Alaska kind of got in my blood. And then I had the opportunity 3 or 4 years ago to come up for the Iditarod with a mutual friend of Hughes and I, and really I love dogs. I love the athleticism of the dogs, and to see the Iditarod was amazing. And I will have to admit, I have been through 11 NFL training camps. 5 years ago, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, which was pretty grueling. But I would have to admit that all those pale to what these guys do in that race.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm sorry, guys and girls.
That's the thing about being in the NFL. You don't have to compete against women, and they're even tougher than a lot of these NFL players.
We're talking to Ken Huff tonight on Gypsy Musher. Hugh and Ken are in the foothills of the Appalachians tonight in Hickory, North Carolina. Hugh is on his school tour. Got about a week and a half or so to go before he heads back home. Ken, how did you get in touch with Hugh? I know that you guys had met at the Iditarod banquet, and I believe we even had you on the show, or if not, we spoke on the phone or something. I remember speaking with you before. How did you meet up with Hugh, and how that friendship developed?
Well, just through the Iditarod and meeting up there, and then Hugh's been here in North Carolina in the past, and we've gotten together and shared some stories and a few adult beverages. So it's always fun to get together.
Yeah, we went to a Durham Bulls game. Like,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's we keep in touch, and I know he has his school tour through the area this time of year, so it's always good to get together.
Yeah, Ken actually lives in the same area where JJ Levy lives, and JJ has helped me out in the past a few years, and you know she's got her own racing career going now. So we actually went down there and visited 2 years ago, and we went to a Durham Bulls game,
yeah.
And a lot of fun. I love North Carolina. Every year in North Carolina, I'm averaging 6 to 8 talks all over the state every year. So I've already done 3, and I'll be here in Hickory tomorrow, and then on the weekend I'll be heading over towards, and Thursday and Friday I'll be heading over to the Asheville area.
Whitewater rafting?
And then after that I'll be meeting with Ken and some friends in
West Virginia.
They're doing some whitewater rafting and some zip lining. So looking forward to this weekend.
Very cool. Ken, what are you doing these days? What's life like after the NFL?
Well, I own my own construction company now. I build custom homes in the area. And it's something I've done since I retired. Love it. I get a kick out of taking raw land and building someone's dream home. And it's a lot of fun. Economy is picking back up, so it's even more fun.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful.
Amazing
country
to watch
out
North
that
Carolina
way.
Growing like crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, like I said, that's beautiful country out that way. It reminds me a lot of the Mattsu Valley here in Alaska, that whole Asheville area, you know, the foothills there. Beautiful country. I've been through there many a time. Out that way, are there any mushers there, Hugh, or is it the only one you know of is JJ? I don't know how much mushing is going on there in North Carolina.
I know they had a big convention that JJ did last year in Asheville that had quite a turnout. What's interesting is my talks in Asheville, the person that set me up with those is a guy named Jim James Blythe, and he actually was the mayor of North Pole, Alaska, I believe in the 90s. People love Alaska. It's obvious. You turn on any cable TV channel nowadays, and you're going to find some Alaska TV show. And I think people are just enamored not only with dog mushing, but just with Alaska and the beauty and the ruggedness of where we live. The more I travel around the U.S. and around the world, the more I realize how lucky I am to do what I do. And to have Walter here, who's getting loved up by Ken right now. Walter just adds that special essence. And I've been telling people I'm just sort of like the translator, and Walter really is the star of the show. You know Walter, Robert. You've met him many times. And he's a one-of-a-kind dog. He's almost part human. He's done 12,000-mile races, more than any other dog in the history of the sport. And he's still kicking it. You know, he's 10 years old, and he looks beautiful. And it's really tough for me to try to retire him because by the looks of him, it looks like he could do another 1,000-miler no problem.
You know, and I'm sure you definitely know this, Hugh, but I know a lot of mushers know this as well, but they kind of let us know when it's time to retire. I'm a big proponent of letting them run as long as they can, as long as they're enjoying it, and as long as they're having fun. No, they might not be doing races, but at least they get out there on that sled, run with the puppies or the older guys. They're having a blast, even though they are getting up there in age.
Yeah, I think that's how you, to me personally, earn respect as a musher, is not by what your dogs have done in races, but what they've done over a lifetime. And to have dogs like Walter and Maestro and a lot of my older dogs, Tolliver and Delilah, Ellsworth and so on, have such extended careers, to me, just shows what, you know, love and day-to-day care is all about. And a lot of it is just attention and giving the dogs the respect they deserve. And whenever I'm hooking up a dog team and Walter's loose running around the yard, he'll run right to the front of the team and just sort of sit down in the lead position going, okay, let's go. And as a musher, the toughest thing for me, concerning, you know, Walter and I have spent probably, 25 or 30,000 miles on the trail together, is to say, hey, buddy, you know, you just, you know, there's other kids that need to learn more than you do. So oftentimes,
right,
nowadays, I'll be out with Walter, and he's just running loose, you know, sort of playing. But that's probably the toughest part for me, being a dog musher, is just the, how the dogs don't, you know, have the same lifespans as humans.
Right. You know, they go through so quick. I know we talk to our daughter about that all the time, that, you know, they have such short lives, and they provide us so much in that short amount of time as mushers and on that dog team. It's tough to see them grow old, but, man, they still have that passion no matter how old they are. They still want to get out there and run. If we can go back to Ken for a minute. Ken Huff is our guest tonight on Gypsy Musher. Ken, have you had a chance to be on the back of a dog sled? And if so, give us an experience or two. How far did you go, and where was it at, and who was it with?
Well, actually, I was. When I was, last time I was up in Alaska, I stopped by Vern Halter's.
Do you know who Vern Halter's neighbor is?
No.
Robert Ford.
Well, there
me.
We go. Okay.
I live quarter of a mile, same neighborhood.
There we go. Well, I stopped by his little show there and had a chance to run behind some of his dogs. The thing that really impressed me more than obviously more than mushers, because they're the co-star. The stars are the dogs, and to see the way they love to run, and to see the care and love that they're given by their mushers, and it's just incredible to see the joy in the dogs and how they're just born to run and they just love doing it. And it's that's the amazing part is to, I love dogs, but it takes it to a new level when you see these dogs up in Alaska pulling sleds. They just have such a great time.
I think that's why the teachers love teaching about the Iditarod and the Quest and all types of dog mushing, is because their kids, through dogs and dog mushing, have a greater passion to want to learn, and not just about Alaska or dog mushing, but, you know, science, geography, all types of subjects that you can learn by following our sport.
Exactly. Totally agree with you there. So you guys are hanging out there, and you had mentioned that you're heading over for some whitewater rafting and some zip line action. Hugh, have you had a chance to do whitewater rafting before?
Oh, yeah. You know, my dad was a scoutmaster for Troop 31 in Evanston outside of Chicago, and my buddies and I, Mike and Steve and Tim and Pat and everybody else, we'd go up to the Wolf River, which is up by Green Bay in Wisconsin, and we'd do some whitewater rafting. Nothing like what they have down here. I mean, we were hanging out tonight with a lady at dinner who is a little bit older, but she was talking about being on the Chautauqua.
Down in Alabama.
Yeah, but it's actually the
Georgia.
It's the movie where they filmed Deliverance.
Right.
But I love, you know, Robert, you know, Alaska has plenty of white water. I love being on rivers. It's a rush.
It is a rush in its own regard. I remember going many a times in Colorado and talking about some rough water there as that snow melts off those mountains in Colorado. You can really rock and roll on some of those whitewater trips. I do have some experiences with that. What about the zip line? Have you had a chance to do that, either Ken or Hugh? Yeah, describe that experience for us, because I know a lot of people would love to do that, but a lot of people are quite afraid as well.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. Have you done it, Ken?
I have. It's a rush. It's very exhilarating. And Hugh's going to be gone, but next weekend I'll be jumping out of an airplane. So
okay, you can have that, buddy.
The zip line is kind of a warm-up for the airplane jump.
Very cool. That is an experience there. The skydiving is one that I will never forget. I tell you, that first jump, even though we were doing it static line, what an experience. You're pretty much looking at your death right there in front of you if that thing doesn't open up.
Well, one thing I'm going to do is make sure all my insurance is paid up, and I know who my beneficiaries are.
There you go. Ken, do you have a dog of your own, or have you had many a dogs in your past?
I have. My last dog passed away about 4 years ago. Very traumatic for me. I had a border collie for 12 years. Great dog. And I will get another dog. Right now my schedule is such that I'm away a lot of time, so I don't want to take on that responsibility when I can't devote the training I need to. But I love dogs. I think I would be in huge shoes if I could. It's just they're phenomenal animals.
Awesome. I don't think your feet would fit in my shoes.
Well, they're a little tight.
Yeah, Ken, you are a big dude. How tall are you, Ken?
6'4". And
you often see the pro football players standing next to an average guy. Just think of a guy like Peyton Manning or some of those guys that are still playing today. You guys look like giants out there compared to the average guy. What in the world do you guys eat as kids more than Wheaties?
Yeah, it's all genetics. I mean, when I retired, I weighed about 275. I weigh about 225 now. So you look, you have to drop a lot of that weight after you retire.
How do you drop it?
Quit eating as much. I still work out to keep my I found that when I don't work out, my joints ache a lot, and my I feel very stiff and very sore. So I'm working out of self-preservation, really. But really just quit eating and, different lifestyle. Unfortunately, too many of my peers didn't get that memo, and they eat as much now as they did when they're playing, and they're not nearly as active, and they're ballooning up to 350, close to 400 pounds.
Yeah, Ken's a specimen, Robert. He's 61, and he looks as fit as any of the mushers I know.
What is the size of a lineman in today's NFL, Ken? I know it's got to be a heck of a lot more than 275, isn't it?
They are. Most lines are averaging 300, certainly. The tackles typically are close to 3.25, 330. The guards typically are closer to 300, and the centers are about 300. But it's amazing. When I was drafted, I weighed 250, and I was considered a big guard. When I retired,
wow,
11 years later, I was 275, and I was a small guard. So in those 11 years, I gained 25 pounds, but I went from big to small. And I like to joke that when I was with the Redskins and the Hogs, I was basically the piglet. They were the Hogs. I was just kind of the runt of the litter.
You had mentioned that your career was about 11 years, and we had talked about Walter and he getting ready to retire now as a sled dog. Is 11 years for an offensive lineman a pretty average career? Is that considered long or short for the offensive line there?
Well, fortunately, offensive linemen tend to play a little bit longer, but the average career in the NFL is still about 3.5 years. That includes all the running backs, defensive backs, all the high-risk players. But, yeah, I was telling Hugh, from the late 60s to the early 90s, there are only 200 NFL players who played more than 10 years. So
wow,
the club is pretty small. I've got to think it's going to get shorter because the toll that these players are putting on each other, the size and the weight and the strength and the speed of the game, a 10-year career is going to be something of the past.
But it's all
right
about conditioning. There's a lot of correlations, between NFL and dog mushing. A lot of it's day-to-day conditioning. And, Ken got to play under one of the greatest coaches ever, I think, Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
And he's got some great Joe Gibbs stories about Joe Gibbs made sure these guys were in shape.
you know, it's not like it is now where it's pretty much an all-year deal. It wasn't back then, was it, Ken? You guys pretty much just showed up at camp and rocked and rolled and got in shape then, whereas now it's a 365-day-a-year job, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. That changed while I was playing. When I first started, yeah, it was pretty much guys would show up, get in shape in training camp, and then play a season. About halfway through my career, late 90s or late 70s, early 80s, it changed to a year-round process where the team expected you to live in the town that you played in. They expect you to see you in the weight room in the off season, and put more demands on your time. So all that changed probably, say 1980.
Do you remember like Walter Payton used to run that hill all the time?
Yeah, at Jackson State or down in.
Yeah, and I remember he'd have Matt Sui would come and go with him. Do you think there's a difference in training in the wilderness compared to being inside in a weight room? Do you think that like hiking, you know, being out in the outdoors can actually help you?
I think so.
Rocky style.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rocky Four.
Yeah. Well, it's the heat and the humidity that you've got to get used to. And so a lot, you know, being outside is important. And, you know, there's no one way to train. It's whatever works for your personal body type and physique. But, you know, there are a lot of just very obscure training routines, but they all work.
Nowadays, they got the hyperbaric chambers, and even Jeff King was doing that a couple years ago with dogs. I don't know if he still does or not, but there might be something to it. I think Jeff even had, like, a jacuzzi for his dogs.
Well, you know, when I've done, like I said, a bit of hiking in the past 5 or 8 years, and when I did Kilimanjaro, there's a certain amount of conditioning you need to do for that, but there's some you just can't do. There's nothing that your body, you can prepare yourself for when you're at 19,000 feet for the lack of oxygen. Some people their bodies can tolerate that and move on. Some people can't. I know some very fit athletes who attempted Kilimanjaro and didn't make it halfway. There's some things that you just your body is can adapt to, and some things you just can't. And everybody's different.
And that's why it just proves in Mushin or NFL or what have you that it's not like Lance Mack would tell me. It's not what you do a week before the race to win the race. It's what you're doing 6 months before to prepare for it.
Exactly.
Ken, if we can talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. You know, in dog mushing, obviously it's the Iditarod, the Yukon Quest, the Fur Rondi, or the Super Bowl of our sport. Tell us about that Super Bowl experience. How was that? What did you feel like, you know, when you're holding up that trophy and it's over and you guys are champs? What was that about, and how did that make you feel, and do you still think about that today?
Oh, definitely. At the time it happened, time just flashes by right in front of you. And I remember thinking that playoff season, as we went to each round, I would say to myself, well, you know, let's just win this one last playoff game, and then, you know, it'll be a great season. Well, we win the game, we go to the next round. And mindset is, well, let's just win this one last game, and it'll be a great season. And you go on to the Super Bowl, and you think, well, this is it. I mean, there's the pinnacle. You know, everybody in the world is watching. The hype all week is just incredible.
That was in Miami?
This one was in Tampa. One was in Miami. But it's just an incredible feeling, because you know, as I said, the whole world's watching. All your peers are watching. Everybody who straps on a helmet is watching that game, and it's really it's just a phenomenal man-made extravaganza that I just don't know of another thing that can compete with it.
So we won't talk about the Raiders Super Bowl. Ken was actually in two Super Bowls, Robert,
and you won one. Is that right, Ken?
Yeah, 1-1.
So was it? How was it? You know, I've been on the other end of the spectrum. Did it hurt as much as it felt to win? Did it hurt as much not to win?
Yes, definitely.
But
which Super Bowl did you win,
Ken?
I'm sorry.
Which Super Bowl did you win against? What team?
Miami. It was played in California. And then we lost the following year to the Raiders in Tampa.
We're just about out of time, guys. I just have one final question for Ken, and then, Hugh, if you want to wrap up. Ken, my last question to you is, do you guys still stay in contact? Is there kind of a brotherhood with the old NFL guys? And if so, do you guys get together and, you know, tell stories and chew the fat, or is it one of those things where, you know, you hang up the cleats and hang up the helmet and you go about your way?
Well, it's fortunately, I play in a lot of NFL golf tournaments, and so I see a lot of my buddies there. But there's a couple that you stay your lifelong friends with. I've got a couple that I would do anything for, and vice versa. But it's funny, the older we get, the better we were. So I'm a lot better this year than I was last year, and next year I'll be even better. So
that,
it's
for sure.
The stories get better.
Very good. Very good. I love that quote there. The older we get, the better we were. Hugh, what else do we have in store? We're about to close. Where are you heading off to finish up the tour? You mentioned heading over towards Asheville area. Are you finishing up in Chicago like you normally do before you fly home?
Yeah, right after Memorial Day. Well, I'm actually going to go visit some folks in Abingdon. Is that in Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be seeing Ken again. And then I'll be doing a couple talks in Ohio, and then I have one last talk in Chicago before we fly back on the 30th. And then it's time to get ready for tourist season in Tok. My friend John already has half the yard. They're doing tourism for Alaska excursions down in Dyea outside of Skagway. So I've got a little bit of a smaller yard this year. I got all the main team in Tok, and then John's got all the yearlings and younger dogs down in Skagway, which I'm hoping to visit here this summer. And Nicole brought it up last week, but we've been talking about doing another book, and there's already one book about a dog named Walter, but this next book we're going to have is going to be called Wally the Wonder Dog, and it's just going to be a book not about mushers, all about dogs, and it's going to be about Walter and just his amazing life. You know, Walter's a special boy and he deserves to be recognized, and looking forward to throwing this together. It's going to be for younger kids, you know, preschoolers through second or third grade, and people have really enjoyed the book, and it's going like wildfire on the tour so far, and it's great to see kids find a passion through you know, the joy of what we get to do for a living. So Walter definitely has a lot of fans out there.
And you can buy that book, QNEF, gypsymusher.com is where you can find it, or you can check him out on Facebook. He has his Facebook page, QNEF, Gypsy Musher, as well as his personal Facebook page. Just search for QNEF. He's always on Facebook, so I'm sure he will respond as quick as possible. You know, Hugh, it's always been a pleasure. I'll see you when you get back. You're going to be back towards the beginning of June, right?
Yeah, and then one of these years, Robert, you're going to have to hang out with me for some of these school talks, and you can bring a bunch of your beautiful dogs, too. That's the amazing thing is wherever I go, man, there's huskies everywhere now. Chicago, New York, down here in Carolina. People love dogs, but people really love huskies. There's just something really special about a husky dog.
They have that personality, for sure. I think they have the personality of a lot of mushers, like gregarious and very outgoing. I think that could answer for a lot of our positives and negatives. We get in a lot of trouble with those attitudes sometimes, don't we, Hugh?
Yeah, but, you know, my greatest fans are the kids and the dogs, and that's what I really worry about when it comes right down to it. And
very good.
Like my good buddy Brent Sass always says, it's all about being wild and free, and that's all I'm ever going to be.
Awesome. Hugh Neff calling in from Hickory, North Carolina, with his friend Ken Hupp, a former Washington Redskin and Super Bowl champion with the Redskins back in the day. Ken, it has been a pleasure, and nice meeting you on the air.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
See you guys next. Thank you. See you guys next time. Goodbye.
Go Pacers.